and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, "Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead." The word of the Lord for the people of God. This morning I would like to thank Ms. Teakin for giving me this opportunity to come and speak to you this morning. I want to thank my father for being here. I have my aunt and my uncle, and I thank you for being here. And I want to thank James Stroud for coming this morning. He works with me, and I told him that I was going to be here this morning, and he promised me that he would be here, and I thank you. And I give glory to God, who is the light of my life and leads me for this day. If we could bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for all that you have done. I thank you, Father, for watching over me on last night and touching me that I was able to rise this morning to see another day. Father, I just ask that you would go with me as I stand before your people. Ask, Father, that they not see me, Lord, but they see you. And I pray, Father, that their ears may be opened and their hearts may be opened, that they can hear and receive your word. And I pray, Father, that when we leave this place, Lord, that we will continue on our mission journey. And I ask this all in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. And I'm not going to be long today. I'm not a long-winded speaker. But I do have a word that comes from the Lord. As we look into the scriptures, we know that there are many important and significant events in the life of Jesus and his disciples. One of those moments would be the transfiguration. Why is this so important and what does it mean? Jesus took with him three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, up on a high mountain. These were the inner circle of the inner circle. Peter was the leader or the spokesman of the group. John is known as the disciple whom Jesus loved, and James was soon to become the first martyred for Christianity. Atop of the mountain, they saw a miracle happen. They saw Jesus transfigured. In the Greek, the word would be metamorpho, which gives us our English word metamorphosis. Jesus was changed before their eyes. They no longer saw him as man or as a human being, but they saw him in all his glory, the glory of God. His face was shining like the sun. It was so bright that they couldn't look at him. His clothes became bright as light. The disciples had never seen anything like this before. Thus, it was a miracle in itself that Jesus was able to hide his glory while he walked on earth. Then, as they looked, they saw Moses, the great lawgiver and the greatest man in the Old Testament, and they also saw Elijah, the great prophet whom God took to heaven in a whirlwind. They stood there talking with Jesus. They represented the Messianic age to come. Moses represented the law. It was through him that the Ten Commandments and the other laws were given. Elijah represented the prophets. These men came and served their generation by the will of God. All that they had to say pointed toward Jesus and the final sacrifice of sin. Here were Moses and Elijah, alive and talking with Jesus. How could this be? For Moses had been dead for over 1,400 years, and Elijah 900. But they were here, speaking with their Lord and Savior. Moses was buried in an unmarked grave by God, and Elijah had been taken to heaven in a chariot of fire. The disciples saw them, and they heard them talking. These men were proof of the resurrection and life after death. Moses represented those who died and go to glory, while Elijah represents those who are caught up in heaven without death, as described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. What was the conversation that Moses and Elijah had with Jesus? Did they talk of his miracles? Did they talk of the sermons that he was going to preach? No. They talked about God's plan of salvation for sinners. All of the angels in heaven knew that Jesus was born for the purpose of restoring salvation. It was God's plan that Jesus come into the world, suffer and die on the cross for a lost world. They spoke to him regarding the resurrection to follow. They strengthened and they encouraged him. With all that had been going on, Peter had been caught up by the miracle of seeing the glorified Savior along with Moses and Elijah. And he speaks saying, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here thee three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Peter had just made the biggest mistake of his life. Without thinking, he misspeaks and places Jesus on the same level as Moses and Elijah, and he wanted to build a dwelling for each of them. Moses and Elijah were faithful servants of God, but Christ was far above them. He was the true sun. They were the stars depending on him for light. He was the root. They were the branches. He was the master, and they were the servants. It is not known why Peter wanted to build the dwellings. Maybe it was because he was trying to preserve the miracle that had happened at the moment. Jesus did not rebuke Peter as he had done earlier in Matthew 16 and 23, but God did. Before Peter could get the words out of his mouth, they were overshadowed by a bright cloud. And out of the cloud, God spoke, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." These are the exact words God spoke after Jesus had been baptized in Matthew 13 and 17. Only here he adds a command: "Hear ye him." The cloud represented the presence of God, reminiscent to his presence in the cloud over the tabernacle as they travel in the wilderness. His speaking confirms that Jesus has the authority of God, and he commands that we listen to him. At the sound of God's voice, the disciples became afraid and they fell on their faces. They realized that they were in the presence of God. Then Jesus touched them. He said, "Arise and be not afraid." Gone was the thunderous voice that they had heard coming from the cloud. Now what they heard were the comforting, reassuring words of Jesus, their friend. And they felt his comforting touch. Jesus' touch not only comforts and reassures, Jesus' touch also heals. When they arose and looked around, they saw only Jesus. He had returned to him to his former self. They were left in awe of Jesus. But they now know that no matter what the circumstances may be, or what the circumstances they may face, that Jesus will always be there for them. As they come down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, "Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen from the dead." Although Peter had confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and Jesus had told them that he would have to suffer and that he would have to die, Peter nor the other disciples really understood what Jesus meant. The purpose of the transfiguration was to strengthen Jesus for his upcoming death and to prepare the disciples for the trials they were about to go through. The death and resurrection were the final confirmation of Jesus' glory and ministry. Jesus had much work that needed to be done before that time. And if word of the transfiguration had gotten out, and the truth that he was the Messiah, his work would be interrupted and would be cut short. We all have mountaintop experiences, but then there comes a time when we have to come down from the mountain. We come down from the mountain and we have to go back into the valley. Usually, it's not until we return to the valley that we truly understand what happened on the mountain. Amen. That's what happened to Jesus' disciples. Not until after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus did they truly know or understood who he was. And it's sad to think that with everything that they had been through, everything that they had seen, that at the time that Jesus needed them most, they abandoned him. They denied him. They ran away. But they remembered the words that Jesus spoke. And soon they were together and they were overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. Then and there they remembered their mountaintop experience. Then and there they remembered that no matter what happened, no matter what they did, that God still loved them. Have you had a mountaintop experience? Are you afraid to come down from the mountain? We must come down from the mountain because we cannot live on the mountain forever. Because once we come down into the valley, we have the work of God that we must do. He has called us for that purpose. He has called us to come down from the mountain and to go out and to speak to others and give God the glory, to glorify him as he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. While we value what happened on the mountain, Let us remember that we must come down to the valley to do the work of God.